This is Stan Domeski of the Feelies, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's Upstate Films.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Hat Merlino in Los Angeles, California. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
And now, here is your WGXC information update. Today, Friday, April 12th, is the 101st day of the year. Confederate forces began their insurrection with their attack on Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina, beginning the Civil War. The National Weather Service in Albany is warning that, and I quote, additional rain showers are expected again on Friday, especially in the morning hours. The combination of rain and snow melt from the high terrains may result in some additional minor flooding, especially of urban low-lying or other flood-prone areas. Rises on area rivers is likely, although most main stem rivers should stay within their banks. Behind the departing storm, westerly winds will be gusty on Saturday, with some gust over 40 miles per hour possible. Some downed limbs are possible. Here's today's headlines. In Washington, D.C., Mid-Hudson News reports that the Environmental Protection Agency's first-ever national drinking water standard for PFAS, the toxic forever chemical that has been poisoning drinking water locally in Hoosick Falls, in Cairo, near Stewart Airport, and many other sites. Representative Pat Ryan, a Democrat, said the new drinking water standard, and I quote, combined with over $1 billion in new funding for implementation, will reduce PFAS in drinking water to historic lows to protect 100 million Americans, including families in Newburgh, New Winster, from these toxic and, I quote, forever chemicals, end quote. In Hunter, HudsonValley360.com reports that the village of Hunter's finances were not adequately managed recently, according to a report from State Comptroller Tums DiNapoli. His report said, and I quote, the village board and clerk treasurer did not properly manage village financial operations. The board did not provide oversight, and the clerk treasurer did not perform all required duties, end quote. The village of Hunter failed to prepare or maintain board meeting minutes, maintain supporting documentation for deposits, or file annual financial reports with the Office of the State Comptroller. Hunter Mayor Alan Higgins said, and I quote, lack of proper staffing and change in the governing body have contributed to their cause, the audit's finding, end quote. The report is about the village's finances between June 1, 2022 and May 31, 2023. The report also said, and I quote, the clerk treasurer was also paid $34,988 without support or approval over the two-year period for overtime, $32,462, and unused leave time, $2,526. The lack of oversight and disorganization at the village office could allow for funds and misappropriation without detection or correction, end quote. In Chatham, the Times Union reports that Jackson's old Chatham house in the Columbia County hamlet has been owned by the same family for 81 years, but now has new owners who have been dining at the restaurant for decades. Dinah and Iggy Vardy promised few changes to the restaurant. Dinah Vardy said, and I quote, "This is more than just a business opportunity for us," end quote. The weekend's local events in Catskill, the Glass Menagerie play, completes its run at Bridge Street Theater in Catskill this weekend through Saturday, April 13th. In Coxsackie, Friday, April 12th, the Highway Drive-In opens for the 2024 season. Civil War from Alex Garland debuts on the big screen there this weekend in a double feature with the same director's movie, Ex Machina. The latest Godzilla and Ghostbusters movies also play at the outdoor venue this weekend. In Hudson, Neo Sora's Ryuichi Sakamoto Opus film from 2023 finishes its run at TSL in Hudson this weekend, 3 p.m. Saturday, April 13th at 4:15 p.m. on Sunday, April 14th, and at 7 p.m. on Monday, April 15th. In Kingston, the Wendy Eisenberg, Caroline Davis duo, and a quartet of Johanna Matry, Gabby Fluke Mogul, Chris Williams, and Patrick Shirosi perform from 7 to 11 p.m. Sunday, April 14th at Tubby in Kingston. In Catskill, Elizabeth Celeste Ebra, Dylan Nowick, Wesley Harper, and Alex P. Wernkrest are the members of local band Camp St. Helene, who will perform alongside Leo and Andrew Victor Sunday, April 14th at the Abalon Lodge in Catskill. And you can tune in this weekend at 10 a.m. on Saturday on WGXC. There's a kind of hush as the former president begins a criminal trial on Monday on Turn on the News. And at 8 p.m. on WGXC, Tony Fallon is live from Accra with The Irish Show. And that wraps up the WGXC Information Update. Visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, or a community calendar. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Here are some of the events this week from the WGXC community calendar. Go to WGXC.org to see more local events or add yours to the WGXC community calendar. The Glass Menagerie play completes its run at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill this weekend, Thursday, April 11th through Saturday, April 13th. On Friday, April 12th in Coxsackie, the Highway Drive-In opens for the 2024 season. Civil War from Alex Garland debuts on the big screen there this weekend in a double feature with the same director's movie Ex Machina. The latest Godzilla and Ghostbusters movies also play at the outdoor venue this weekend. Neo Sora's Ryuichi Sakamoto Opus film from 2023 finishes its run at TSL in Hudson this weekend at 1:30 p.m. Saturday, April 13th, at 4:15 p.m. on Sunday, April 14th, and at 7 p.m. on Monday, April 15th. The Wendy Eisenberg, Carolyn Davis duo, and a quartet of Johanna Matry, Gabby Fluke Mogul, Chris Williams, and Patrick Shiroishi perform from 7 to 11 p.m. Sunday, April 14th at Tubby's in Kingston. And Elizabeth Celeste Abera, Dylan Nowick, Wesley Harper, and Alex P. Wernquist are the members of the local band Camp St. Helene, who perform alongside Liel Neal and Andrew Victor Sunday, April 14th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. See more about any of these events in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, April 12th. Local early morning temperatures range from 56 degrees in Tannersville to 65 in Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 50 degrees, and that is the magic number. Should it hold out, the plant growth will reach nominal rates. Pollen levels for today will be medium, and it is going to be another wet day. Flooding is happening in Poughkeepsie. Won't feel much better up here. Rain all day. Chances for thunder in the morning, and it will be gusty, but in the afternoon, things calm down. We get a high of 62 degrees at 1 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 46 degrees. Tomorrow, rainy all day, mostly in the morning. A high of 48 lingers most of the day. Overnight, there will be no rain and a low of 42. Sunday, rain comes back and we get a high of 59. Monday, no rain, high of 64. Sunset today will be at 7:19 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:14 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be average at 412 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 81. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The way I understand it, this person came into your home and stole all of your radios.
Every radio I had to my name.
Including transistors?
Yes. Well, he left me one earplug, I'll say that for him.
Well, did he take anything else?
Just the radios, and a couple of pieces of fruit.
I see. Well, what...
A banana and 2 Kadota figs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deny him the fruit.
No. Are you and your husband going to replace the radios?
Well, we'll have to. Arthur is late for work because he has no radio to keep reminding him of the time and traffic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to keep me company while I work around the house.
I can imagine.
We have a 10-room house. We had a radio in every room.
Then he stole all 10 radios?
11.
11.
He also stole the car.
Who listens to radio? Only 150 million people. That's all.
Thank you. Next, we head to Copaig with PG6, Pat Gubler's 2023 album Murmurs and Whispers. This is I Don't Want to Be Free.
Be swept away. Washed away by the tide. Carried away. At last I saw you. Thriving on the shore, you barely thought of me anymore. See how you are hated. How you are despised. Know that you are ruined. How you've been cast aside. How you long to be free. You are swept away. Washed away by the tide. Carried away. I rejoiced in your suffering. But in the end it came to nothing. Washed away by the tide. Carried away. Thank you.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
As long as both parties get in their certifications on time by the deadline, they're going to be on the ballot. As long as they adhere to Alabama state law, we're going to put them on the ballot.
Republican Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen says Democrats have until August 15th to certify President Joe Biden as their candidate to get him on November's ballot. Ohio's deadline is August 7th, but the Democratic convention takes place days after those deadlines. GOP legislatures in both states made exceptions for former President Donald Trump in 2020 and face calls to do the same for Biden. A new Justice Department rule about to go into effect will force dealers to run background checks on buyers at gun shows. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says it'll close a loophole that allows the sale of tens of thousands of untracked guns every year.
President Biden and Vice President Harris continue to call on Congress to enact universal background checks and finish the job.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has signed a bill to let local and state officials arrest and deport undocumented migrants who illegally re-entered the country. A similar Texas law has been paused by a federal court, but Republican Iowa State Representative Stephen Holt says that state must push the envelope to protect residents.
We know that many have come across our border just to have a better life, but we also know that there are gang members, terrorists, rapists, and those who commit murder who have also crossed our border.
Opponents say the law encourages racial harassment and is already causing fear and confusion for DACA recipients and those legally pursuing asylum. A special prosecutor will consider criminal charges against Georgia Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones for trying to overturn the 2020 election. Jones was one of 16 Georgians who served as fake electors, falsely declaring Trump won that state. He calls the investigation an abuse of power.
To take it to this length and trying to accuse individuals being criminals, I think it's a little much.
Meanwhile, voting rights groups in Georgia oppose a bill headed to the governor's desk that would make it easier to challenge a voter's eligibility and make it easier to purge voter rolls. Near total abortion bans in Arizona and Florida have left Republicans reeling and might give Democrats a winning issue. But for Arkansas 3rd District congressional candidate Caitlin Draper, it's personal. Draper says she just learned her pregnancy wasn't viable, and even her doctors don't know if she can get the standard treatment.
So it feels horrible to live in a state where your life is at risk all the time. And I'm just desperately trying to have a baby.
An Arkansas law banning abortions except to save the woman's life went into effect after Roe was reversed in 2022. Meanwhile, the Iowa Supreme Court is considering the state's six-week ban. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last October that 11 Michigan GOP legislators used the independent state legislature theory to challenge two Michigan ballot questions expanding voting rights. A federal judge dismissed their case April 10th. You'll remember that the fringe ISL theory was used in a North Carolina case last year, with the state legislature arguing in Moore v. Harper that it alone had the U.S. constitutional authority to make election law. The U.S. Supreme Court rejected that argument. In 2018, Michigan voters approved voting rights citizen ballot initiatives which established automatic voter registration, no-excuse absentee voting, and same-day voter registration. In 2022, voters approved another voting rights amendment which allowed drop boxes, established 9 days of early voting, and a permanent absentee list, among several democracy reforms. They passed with approvals of 60% and 67%. 11 Michigan GOP senators and representatives objected, arguing that they had the U.S. constitutional right to cast a vote on such election laws and were harmed by the ballot initiatives. Judge Jane Beckering did not rule on the validity of the ISL theory, but did concur with the state's argument that the plaintiffs had no standing to bring the case. The case was dismissed, but ISL may still not be dead. We have links to more on the case and why the ISL theory is dangerous at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Do you enjoy the arts? Have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members. And get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
signal fading. Listen to what I'm saying. Testing, testing. This better be worth all of the breath I'm wasting. Maintaining radio silence from now on. Barricaded in the talk radio station. Hostage taken. The red on air that shines on something cheaper. That passes for free speech will have to do. String starts strumming. Another humdrum conundrum. Signing off now. Maintaining radio silence from now on. But there's one thing I should have said. The hostage will to mention the sad waste of this wonderful invention. Maintaining radio silence from now on. Libraries filled up with failed ideas. There's nothing more for me there. It's hard to tell the difference between a king and a chair and a poet and a hat. Maintaining radio silence from now on.
Talking with Canyon Ryan, who is Executive Director of United Tenants of Albany. We're taping this on April 10th, and we still don't really have a state budget lockdown. And one of the biggest points of contention has been what to do about not just the issue of affordable housing, but what are the rights of tenants and There does seem to be some agreement as to including some of the provisions related to good cause eviction into any type of housing budget agreement, but people are still very upset about that. In fact, this week, a number of people got arrested at the state capitol for protests and the weakness of what they're talking about. So, Canyon, can you tell us where do the housing negotiations stand, and why are the tenant groups not happy with the so-called deal being discussed?
Sure. Thank you for having me. So right now, you know, as you mentioned, a couple activists recently got arrested while protesting the governor regarding, you know, not just housing, but a slew of other things that she seems to be pushing for or against. One big, you know, position of ours is that we need, the budget is a moral document. We need a just budget, and included in that should be just cause or good cause eviction protections. Where the, you know, negotiations seem to be right now is that good cause eviction would not nearly resemble what's written now and what's been proposed by Julia Salazar and Pamela Hunter. They're talking about exemptions for high rents, potentially even 165% of the fair market rent, which is not incredibly high, to be considered not protected by, arbitrary evictions, exemptions for new developments, exemptions for small landlords, pretty high rent increase allowances before it becomes questionable. And all of this is a concession for other things that we aren't really happy about, including individual apartment improvements, which is a regulatory scheme to increase rents, and tax breaks for developers. So as far as we know, things are not looking great, especially here in upstate New York, where good cause eviction would likely need to be an opt-in, meaning we would have to organize to get our local legislators to, localize in common councils and city councils to pass good cause eviction protections.
Now, I know one of the things they were talking about early on was that particularly the unions in New York City, but elsewhere, wanted to ensure that in exchange for some of the, subsidies were increased affordable housing, that pay would be increased. How is that, standing at this point? Do we know?
As far as I know, REBNY, the Real Estate Board of New York, is really preventing any movement on any of these negotiations. The unions want fair pay for fair work, and the tenants are there with them. And the unions are also calling for good cause eviction because they recognize, much like just cause termination, good cause eviction makes a lot of sense for workers. The tenants are the workers of the city, and we're encouraging the unions to continue their fight to get fair wages, because those fair wages turn into usually affordable rents. As our incomes go up, the rent shouldn't necessarily follow it to the same T. So we hope for higher wages for our workers, and we hope for lower rents for our tenants. But as far as I know, not much movement. REBNY has been a huge block in terms of any progress on housing or labor needs as it relates to development and affordability.
Now, one of the things you just mentioned was that even if they do include some form of good cause eviction, not strong enough from the tenant perspective, that individual municipalities would still have to then do their own vote to opt in, which, presumably in Albany, since already first one to pass, would do. But that means fights all over the state, and would the municipalities have ability to even further weaken what they adopt, or would they have to adopt a standard form across the state?
I don't think we have any clarity in terms of where the negotiations are right now, but that's a really important consideration. Like you said, Albany very likely would opt right in. I think the next day, before any city could, the city of Albany would pass good cause eviction because it was the first municipality in the state to pass it. That said, sharing a zip code with the city of Albany is Colony, 12205. And Colony is not necessarily a progressive bastion or a town of tenant protections. And we have mobile home residents there fighting a no-cause non-renewal. Well, the cause is, the landlord says, you complain too much because the tenants don't just rent the lot, they rent the trailer. And they didn't have heat over Christmas. They didn't have a functional oven on Thanksgiving. And yeah, they would be left out of any deal, because I highly doubt that Crummy is going to push for Colony to adopt good cause eviction protections. So even if they can water it down, I mean, where we're at now is just, it's really really upsetting and kind of disgusting that 5 years into this fight, we can't secure basic tenant protections to age in place and, you know, not be threatened with non-renewals for no reason. I think I mentioned earlier, and it's on our social media, but I myself recently received a non-renewal. And when I reached out to the landlord and said, why are you not renewing my lease? They said, we're deciding to go a different direction with this unit. Never had an issue with my rent. I have put in complaints about no heat in the winter. If that's the cause, if that's the issue and why they're trying to choose a new direction. Again, I mean, we need basic protection so that people can stay where they live and build a life around their home, which is just, it's being denied to us, denied by our legislators right now.
Now, I mentioned that early this week, a number of people were arrested at the Capitol protesting this and I guess other things. How do we see these negotiations, playing out? I used to always say that we'd have to have an announcement at least three times of an agreement before the agreement actually stuck. So what's in play in terms of the future of actually getting this into the budget and getting a budget passed?
It's a good question. I mean, we know that the governor, I believe, is going to D.C. or is going to be at a press conference with some White House officials. She's building up her national platform while, budget conversations are still in flux. We've heard that the governor is moving on good cause eviction. But again, that's not even nearly a bill that resembles the version of good cause that we want. And I know that there's actually a lot of talk about walking away from the table at this point, because if they leave upstate out and they allow all these concessions and rollbacks on the Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act, we're only losing. So what the three men in the room, which is actually two women and Carl Hasty, are determining right now in terms of budget negotiations, they're going to have to come back to their conference and say, look, we're going to pass good cause, but it's not even going to, resemble the bill that's written. And we're also going to allow all these rollbacks in the Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act. Can you guys live with that? And if that's the case, our hope is that legislators will say, no, we can't live with that. We can't live with a fake good cause eviction just to allow a bunch of concessions for real estate. So where are they now? Who knows? And then what happens when they talk to their caucuses? Who knows? We're not in this room. It's far too opaque for us to even know what's happening.
So we got about 2 minutes left, so I'll ask a couple questions and you can finish up. Affordable housing is what everybody talks about, but besides things like good cause eviction and trying to limit rent increases, are they talking about any other, increase subsidies, housing vouchers, any type of supplement for expansion of Section 8 housing?
And just to sort of continue this really unfortunate angle, right to counsel is apparently in the budget. The Senate provided some funding and the Assembly did too, but it's not the version of right to counsel that we want. There's no mandate for counsel. There's no pause on summary proceedings if a tenant doesn't have representation. It's really just more of the same funding for legal providers, which is super important, but we can't call that right to counsel. In terms of the Housing Access Voucher Program, the purpose of HAVP is to mimic Section 8, but also be available to newcomers and folks without a social security number and already homeless folks and folks that are at risk of homelessness. Here again, the governor is fighting us tooth and nail. She does not think that undocumented folks deserve any subsidies, despite having a huge housing crisis because of their influx and the fact that they're being used as a political tool. Once again, our governor is preventing any progress on that front. Really frustrating, because we have families in our tenant associations in Albany. We have families across the Capital Region facing holdover evictions, no cause. It's increased over 100% in the city of Troy. They could use these vouchers, but the governor is making sure that, and the thing about vouchers too is that they pay the landlord. It's a subsidy for landlords. It's an excuse for landlords to not even maintain their properties, because half these inspections are so basic. But still, we can't have any progress on this front, because the higher echelons of our political system here are fighting us on basically every step.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I've been talking with Canyon Ryan, United Tenants of Albany. This has been Mark Dunleavy for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
is fair, I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Count my days, I'm gone, forget reaching my phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. Got to get in straight, how could I ever be late, when you're my woman taking up my time. Oh! Get the message over to you now.